So let's get back to the story of Shaytan, particularly with Adam alayhi salam. I want us to really focus on this particular encounter between Shaytan and Adam alayhi salam, because as you can see, we take a lot of lessons for ourselves, how the children of Adam alayhi salam can fight against the Shaytan and how we can disarm the Shaytan properly. Now, one of the issues that comes up, and this is a very technical issue, when Iblis disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he refused to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, and he challenged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way that he did, wasn't he kicked out of Jannah? Wasn't he kicked out of paradise anyway? So then how was he able to come back and tempt Adam alayhi salam? It's a very specific question, and it's one of those questions that requires a lot of research and requires a lot of discussion. Well, for one, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ukhruj minha fa innaka rajim," that leave it because you are an expelled one. Rajim is someone who has stones thrown at them and is casted out, okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say what he's kicking Shaytan out of or where he's expelling Shaytan from. And so the scholars differ here. They say that ukhruj minha, leave it, could either mean al-khuruj min al-jannah or al-khuruj min al-manzil, which means either leave Jannah or leave your station. Because as we said, Iblis was lifted to a place that no other jinn was. He was given a position amongst the angels, amongst the malaika. He had the shape of the angels, right? I mean, he was lifted and elevated to a place that no other jinn was ever able to attain. So many of the scholars, they said that this is referring to al-khuruj min al-manzil, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not expel him from paradise altogether, but Allah expelled him from his position. And, you know, as Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala and others, they said his shape was changed. So he no longer had the beautiful appearance, the appearance of the angel that he had. And, you know, and that's where his name, in fact, does become Iblis and Shaytan, right? The one who's expelled and casted out and the accursed one. Okay, so some of them said that. And then they said that persisted. He was sent to a position, a low position, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ نَهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا, that all of you now leave paradise. All right? So that's one way of looking at it. Al-Khuruj min al-Manzil. And another way is to say that he left paradise. So then if we say he left paradise, he left Jannah, then how did he get back in to sway Adam alayhi salam away? Now, the story from a biblical perspective, and we see this many times in the books of tafsir, that the biblical story is what's used in the books of tafsir where there is ambiguity. The story from the people of the book is that he came in as a snake, which is why you always see the portrayal of Adam alayhi salam and Hawa and Eve and the snake that's whispering to them to do certain things. Some of the scholars, they accepted that. Some of the scholars, they used that story from the people of the book that he was able to come back in the form of a snake. And subhanAllah, there were interesting reasons that were given for those scholars. One of them said that the snake is our enemy as human beings until the day of judgment. And then its harm is lifted, just like Iblis's harm is lifted on the day of judgment. What is the proof of that? The Prophet ﷺ mentions to us that when Isa alayhi salam, when Jesus, peace be upon him, has his reign on earth, that the snake would no longer be able to harm the human being. That at that point, a snake would not bite anyone, and even if it did, it would not harm them. So until then, the snake remains our enemy. So that there's a strong analogy between the snake and the devil, that it remains our enemy until that time. Also, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that jinn are likely to inhabit snakes. So we find that in our hadith literature. So that's some of the explanations that are given. But still, it's problematic, and obviously it's from the people of the book, so we can't really, you know, we can't affirm it with any sense of certainty, with any air of certainty. A more likely explanation to all of that is what other scholars said and what's been narrated from many of the tabi'een, many of the early generation scholars, that waswasa lahum ash-shaytan, shaytan whispered to them. He either cast the thought in Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam in their heads for a long time. He whispered to them for a long time, you know, kept pointing out that tree to them for a very long time. And that thought persisted, because we as human beings, when Shaytan just pitches the thought, we then take it and we apply our own things to it and so on and so forth. Or that Shaytan called them from outside of the gates of Jannah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not yet sent him to this earth Instead, he was at the gates of Al-Jannah calling out to them. Now, the most likely explanation, again, all of this is from the knowledge of the unseen. So we say, Allahu A'lam, Allah knows best. We can't express with any certainty. However, what we do know is that all shaitan has to do is plant the thought. Once shaitan plants the thought, the poison is already there. And a lot of times what we see is that shaitan will pitch a thought to us to commit a sin. And we will take it to another extreme, in fact, right? Shaitan gives us an invitation to a minor form of a sin, and we make it into a major form of that sin, all right? All he does is he puts the poison there. Something else that we see sometimes is that shaitan invites us to a sin that we initially reject, but later on in our lives, when we find ourselves in that moment of insecurity, once again, or vulnerability, that's when we go back and resort to that sin. When the insecurity and the vulnerability was not there, that sin was not as attractive to us. So, you know, that seems to be the most likely explanation, that shaitan was working on Adam alayhi salam and Hawa for a very long time. And he planted this thought in their heads. And when the insecurity was there, that's when we find that they unfortunately resorted to eating from that tree. And that's where the rest of the story continues.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope you enjoyed and benefited from this video. If you did, then please do share it. And if you'd like to follow the rest of the series, then please do click on the top box. And if you'd like to see all of the other episodes and the other videos we have to offer, then please click on the box under that. And don't forget to subscribe to the channel for more amazing content.